Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a dear friend, a successful businessman from Dubai, and most importantly, a fellow YPO member, Manoj Narendra Mbanani, to the show. Manoj, welcome to the show.
Ashutosh, thank you very much for your introduction, and I'm grateful to be here today. Thank you, sir.
Manoj is a global investor with a philosophy of 1 plus 1 equals 11, and we're going to talk about that. He's a board member of Fitch and Company, of CalRock. He's been with the DSA Group, also with the FEMS Group of Companies, and as I mentioned, he's a member of the YPO. Manoj, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or career?
I think the three milestones that I would look back on is, first, I married extremely well. That's a blessing by itself. And then I would say 2, 3, and 4 are my three children. Okay. Right? So I don't treat it as 1 or 2 or 3 milestones. I think, to me, family grounds me. And I was saying this to everyone, that I am where I am today because I have a solid rock at home, and that's my wife, Anju. So everything is based around that.
So, you know, let's start with talking about your 1 plus 1 equals 11 philosophy. Tell me about this.
So, Shutosh, I've seen how I observe life is about relationships, right? Relationships on many levels. When you come into the world, you are a son or a daughter first. You're a grandchild, you're a niece or a nephew. Then you involve by having, then you grow by having siblings. So relationships augment as you grow, as you evolve physically, right? And I was just observing that, you know, we all play a lot of roles. How do we ensure that every role we are able to play it well? And how do we ensure that it provides maximum value for the maximum people? And this is actually the philosophy from our guru, Swami Chinmayananda, who says, whatever you do in life, make sure you touch the maximum number of people with the maximum happiness, with the maximum impact. So based on that, I thought about business. I thought about the fact that many times people say it's a zero-sum game. For every winner, there has to be a loser. I disagree with that. I said business and good ethical business is when everyone's happy. So I don't like to see companies issuing record profits and then suddenly announcing a huge amount of layoffs. That to me is an oxymoron by itself. I don't understand that. That to me is not how it works. If I've done extremely well with my team, then I have the sharing is caring philosophy, because it's because of my team that said 1 plus 1 equals 11. Mm-hmm. I'm also very particular in another thing. I don't like to use the word employees. Everyone is an associate.
Okay.
And that I got from one of my business mentors, a gentleman called Arthur Blank, very successful entrepreneur, founder of Home Depot. And he's just written a book called Good Company. And I will tell you, what an incredible, inspiring man whose everything was evolved around the customer and giving them exponential value. So 1 plus 1 equals 11 is about, I approach every situation where both sides have to walk out of it happy. That's the goal, and I tell that to everyone. And if they are not happy, let's go back to the drawing board and make them happy. How do we make everybody happy? That's how I look at it.
Well said. What a great philosophy to have. Well, you're an investor investing all over the world. Let's start with, for our viewers and our listeners, what exactly is the work that you do?
So I'm macro-driven. I was saying this to someone the other day. I'm a scuba diver and not a diver. So I look at the world from a very macro level. I look at various themes, and I'll tell you today, I give you a simple example. We are at 7.5 billion people today. By 2035, we're going to be at 9. So the 6 basic human needs are food, water, energy, infrastructure, healthcare, and education. These are the businesses that I would look at. Technology is the backbone of each of these businesses. So I look at macro themes. I spend a lot of my formative career years trading, natural resources, raw materials, which was basically energy focused. I took the trade, I went downstream a little bit, upstream as well, vertically integrated on various levels, and realized soon enough that we were putting a significant amount of strain onto our own natural resources on Mother Earth. So that's where you bring in technology and you apply the efficiencies for technologies. I don't like to use the word disrupt because it's not disruption. It's how do you improve things? And I use two words which I've learned from the software industry, which is continuous improvement. This is what we are doing. We are continuously improving our applications in the various fields that we are working in. So what I do is look at macro themes. I was blessed after college, after being born in Hong Kong, went to school in Switzerland and college in the States at Babson, then lived in Central South America for 2.5 years, Africa for a year, Hong Kong for a year, then moved to Poland for 11 years of my life. So I observed Poland coming out of communism, joining the European Union. It was very cool. It was amazing to see a country with great vision, transformational opportunities, and seeing how things run. After that, moved to Kuwait, but have primarily been in the investment space. So what we do is we develop our macro themes, identify the companies in those spaces. We have a small ecosystem of investors that we work with and effectively bring them in. We usually seed our own investments. So we're the seed capital, or we will be bringing the partners that to work with. And I was blessed to have worked under the late Dr. Jan Kolczyk in Poland, of Polish descent. I was with him for 8 years from 2007 to 2015 and was basically responsible for their international business, which was primarily in Africa, natural resources, oil and gas, and mining. That's what I was doing then.
And, you know, you speak about, when I was reading about you, you speak about conscious and collaborative capitalism. Help me understand this phrase.
So there's an interesting mentor of mine, and I have a few of them, Ashutosh, and I consider you one of them as well. One of them is a gentleman called Professor Raj Sisodia, who's the founder of the conscious capitalist movement, along with John Mackey from Whole Foods. Raj is currently a professor at my favorite college, Babson, where I went, and I'm a member of the board of trustees there. And Raj talks about conscious capitalism. Now, you have to be a conscious business leader, which is not only about taking, but about giving and sharing to your community and ecosystem. And he started to make me think about the impact you have with your suppliers, the impact you have on your community, with your associates. The impact you have as a leader, you can really do a lot. So you decide whether you want to leave a scar or you want to leave a positive monument. And that's how your management style works, right? So the conscious capitalist, and I added collaborative to it because that's where my 1+1=11. So everything I do is about collaborative. And I have had sometimes some of my associates, I've seen them, they don't understand, but they finally get it at the end game, where I will call up one of my suppliers, or I've even been known to call up one of my competitors on a specific bid and say, listen, can we sit down? Okay. And they're like, why? And I'm like, look, there definitely are deficiencies within each of our camps, but if we actually align ourselves, we could actually do this well. Nice. And I think many of them are a bit first very concerned that why is this person reaching out? But when they hear the full picture and I'm radically transparent, then people get a high level of comfort and we sit down and we get things done. And I believe that that's the only way to work, is to be conscious, but to be collaborative. So that very clear, and I'm very, transparent in how we even define the waterfall of compensation. That's something which everyone knows, and I have nothing to hide about it, because at the end of the day, I want people on our team, I want our associates to be paid extremely well, and I have no issues in sharing. And that's something that only works if it's a conscious and a collaborative system.
I agree. I mean, transparency is very critical in any relationship. And yeah, in your 1+1=11, it's even more important. So let's move on. You know, when you look at making investments, what do you look for? I mean, you know, when I was looking at, you know, your profile, you know, obviously you look at business, but I was also fascinated that you look at cultural nuances and you also look at the country or the government. So help me understand, how do you go about the whole process?
So the first thing I look at is the people involved, is who are the people behind this phenomenal opportunity. That's something, irrespective of how lucrative the business opportunity can be, if the values are not aligned, the conversation ends very quickly. I would have had a great lunch or breakfast meeting, and that's fine. But I then go back and make my notes. I'm still very old school. I carry a notepad with me and a pen, and I take notes all the time. And I look at how people treat their people around them, ecosystem. I mean, I'll tell you something interesting, which I have done. And I can share it with you. This is one of my tests that I put. Mm-hmm. I was working with a potential. We were meeting a potential business partner in London before the lockdown. And I always stay at the same hotel. So breakfast is at a certain place, lunch at a certain place, dinner as well. And I basically told the waiter, I have what I call a human capital test. Mm-hmm. The waiter got a great tip. I said, you have to spill a glass of water on that person. Okay. And water was spilled. And I will tell you, I've been in situations where I've seen somebody get up and just abuse the waitstaff so badly that you basically realize that's a show, right? Mm-hmm. And I had two individuals who impressed me. One just said, don't worry about it, and just continued on the conversation and just took a napkin. I gave him mine. It was as if nothing happened. Guess what? He became my partner. Wow. Because he demonstrated to me that not only could he solve a problem, but he made a quick decision and he carried on. Amazing. And that to me is what I'm looking for today. Before, I will tell you, and I may say this, I think when I was younger, my first sequence of events was, how much money am I going to make out of this? Forget the values and the ethics. Let me just jump into the money. Today, that's lower on the totem pole. The value alignment comes first. If the value alignment is not there, like I said, I've had a great meal. I'm blessed to have met somebody else in my network, but I move on. And this is the most important. And then based on that, naturally, as you said, the commercial opportunity, we have a team that validates it extremely well. And then we look at the political risk. Sure. I've literally gone from, I mean, what's interesting now is I have been blessed to have worked in almost every single country in Africa. I know it extremely well. And I feel in my heart that there was one part of my past lives I had to be African for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Asian as well, definitely. I'm very proud of our culture. And also having spent time in the US and Europe as well. And I think that the current opportunities out there are demonstrating to me that there's a significant, there are things to go out there and do. And I'm being very cautious. But at the same time, the political risk is a big factor for me. I will tell you what I'm very impressed with is our country. I know people are, there's been a lot of noise saying that the Indian economy is a bit shaky. However, I will tell you that, you know, we are one of the world's largest economies. We have, and our value system is up there, all right? And I think that, you know, just because you have a few bad apples doesn't mean the whole lot is spoiled. That doesn't work that way. So I told someone, absolutely not. I believe in India, and I'm actually looking at India in a big way, and I see some huge potential out there.
So let's talk, you know, Manoj, about Africa.
Sure.
You know, you just mentioned that you probably visited almost every country in Africa. You have a large portfolio in Africa. Over the last 2 or 3 years, everyone's talking Africa as it being the next major global market. What, according to you, are the major opportunities in Africa? And what are the challenges?
So I think what's interesting is that I think today I will correct you with one thing. We used to have a very, very large portfolio there. It was mainly export driven. which was how we protected our local currency, our foreign currency exposure, all right? However, most of our primary assets have been sold. However, now what is interesting is the human capital workforce, associate force that's coming up in Africa is incredible. Last year, I was working on a bankruptcy of a coal mine process in South Africa. Our deal did not go through. However, the learning curve was amazing. And I understood a country, and I've been spending a lot of time the last few years in the special situations field with the Kalan, with the Jalan Kharok Consortium. Just to let you know, we just qualified for Jet Airways in India.
Oh, okay.
And part of that is because the traffic from Africa is going to start coming up due to the second and third generation Indians that are out there. There's a significant demand to come up and down and to actually set up a manufacturing or technical base in India. So I've been primarily focused on special situations. But what is interesting about Africa is the African workforce is actually something that is going to become a value, a creative measure for each of these countries. So you've seen a situation where a lot of the countries in the world, India being one of them, Philippines, they had all these data centers, call centers. I mean, the amount of human capital available in Africa is in abundance. Wow. With the right training, which is coming in, and there's some companies, I'll give you an example of there's a Chan Zuckerberg-led initiative called Andela. Andela are based out of Lagos. They do remote engineering teams within Africa. They're in Lagos, Kenya, a few other parts of Africa, and they sell their computer engineering services to the US. Okay. So they've understood the value of creating human capital, giving them respect and dignity. So the human capital creates the financial capital, which then leads to financial independence. And I think if every leader or entrepreneur stops looking, how do I take, but how do I give, you can actually grow. And that's why Africa to me is an abundance of agriculture, natural resources on the, you know, energy side in abundance. Yes, there are political issues which you deal with, like you deal with globally. I mean, I think today globally we're probably sitting at a boiling pot of political issues globally. I don't think there's any country that's going to tell us everything is fantastic. But hey, that's part of it, right? And as long as you can navigate through it, you'll be okay.
And, you know, tell me, why did you choose? I mean, you said your family was from Hong Kong. You studied in the US, lived all over. You did business in Switzerland. Or your dad did business in Switzerland. Why did you choose to work out of Dubai?
I will tell you that from a time zone point of view, this is the best city to run a global business. I speak to California, and my first call in the morning is to California, and that's my last call as well. And during the day, if you just sit here and go through from a time zone point of view, you can actually cover everything very systematically. So I love it here. I think this is actually one of the best cities in the world. And I think being a complete NRI who's never lived in India, I am Indian 100%. I always tell everyone Dubai is the best city to live in India. I love it here.
I agree. So let me now move on. Sure. And ask you a few questions personally.
Sure.
My first question to you is, you know, what a great life you've had, and, you know, you're obviously preparing for an amazing next 30, 40 years.
Thank you.
What does success mean to you today?
So, Ashutosh, success today means to me health. Mm-hmm. That's my, I think health is the number one priority, and a happy family. And, you know, DSA, to give an example of the DSA group, DSA is named after my three children. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, to me, their well-being, my wife's well-being, my parents, my siblings, my entire ecosystem, brother-in-laws, sister-in-laws, nieces, nephews, everyone.
Right.
We make sure that we are in touch with them. We make sure that they're very much part of our life. Mm-hmm. Being a follower of Swami Chinmayananda, Tejamayananda, Swarupananda, I listen to my gurus, Avdeshanand. I mean, I have some modern-day gurus like you, Gautam, Shashi Dal, Scott Scott Galloway, Raj Sisodia. There's a few people that I read about and talk to about certain things. And I think, you know, I think keeping ourselves authentic and healthy and then happy, that's the main thing. And I think being part of a community is very essential for me. And I thank my YPO forum for that.
I agree. Forum's always very powerful. So my next question is that, you know, how do you set your personal and professional goals?
My professional goals are set, are outcome driven. So because of the industry that I'm in, it's project specific, right? I'm very particular how we define the fields we should be going into, because it's not about the money. It's about, are we achieving the maximum impact on society that we should, or is it just a trade? Are we just going to make money out of this? So that, and I have no problem asking that question. And based on that, we'll make a decision. And some things we do are only to make money. And some things we do have a larger meaning or purpose to it. So that's something, that's how I look at it. From a personal point of view, I can tell you, Ashutosh, is quite interesting. When I turned 40, 10 years ago, I was probably 25 or 26 kilos heavier. Mm-hmm. Right? And it was my form brothers, who, one of them particularly, Naveen, who got us all in shape and got us all motivated. And we've all started, we all went on a path. It took us some time. I always liked the phrase, every beginner, every master was a beginner once, right? You have to, this is a muscle, you have to keep on training it. So I make sure that on the personal goals, I know that anything I do is not a tablet that I will take and I'll suddenly drop 25 kilos. It's not going to happen. I got to put in the, you know, effort, and I got to make it a mindset.
Absolutely. And it's a slow process, consistent.
Absolutely. And I'll share with you one thing interesting. I took a course over the last few weeks. I've been reskilling, recalibrating. I've understood the technical digital world, AI, machine learning, and how it impacts certain aspects of what I'm doing. So I've actually spent a lot of time the last few months, and I would say the last couple of years, reading and upskilling myself a lot. And I find that, you know, in order to stay relevant personally and commercially, I can't be doing the same things I did last year. It doesn't work anymore. So I'm always about personal innovation, and that forms part of my goals. So that's very much how I...
Terrific. And Manoj, my last question to you now, you know, and I come back to the pandemic, you have businesses, investments all over the world. How are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
So first thing is that I was someone who was on a plane. I would travel about 25 hours a week for almost 14 years, right? So that's a serious amount of flying. Today, I'm finding myself more productive by taking longer trips. And I have been traveling the past few months, mainly to Switzerland and Germany. I find myself a lot more focused. And I'm doing a lot less, but of higher quality. So I'm very particular now who I spend my time with. And I don't mean this in a bad way. It's just that I want to work with people that are going to, that I can achieve the 1+1=11 with. And if we can have that positive impact, that's my whole mindset first is this a win-win? If it's not a win-win, if it's just me winning or them winning, I cut it short as quick as I can.
Perfect. Manoj, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure and honor speaking to you. I'm sure not just 1+1=11 will become a global philosophy for everyone, but everything new that you are setting out to do, I wish you lots of success.
Thank you very much, Ashutosh, and thank you for your time today. I much appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.